The last Sunday before Lent, and the last Sunday of Epiphany, final Sunday before Lent, in the old prayer book, in the 1928 prayer book, they used to be like a five-syllable word starting with Q that designates this Sunday. I can't pronounce that word.
Quinquagesima.
Say it again?
Quinquagesima.
That's the word. And it means the last Sunday before what? Well, I don't know. What does it really mean?
I think it's 50 days before Sunday.
Yeah. Something like that. But anyway, it is the last Sunday before Lent. And the last Sunday before Lent, we always hear about the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration is a very interesting and strange kind of occurrence. And we can be fooled by the tense of the verbs in the scripture to believe that it's something that happens to Jesus. But it's not. It's not something that happens to Jesus. What happens is that the eyes of James and John and Peter are opened so that they are able to see Jesus' true nature. Before, they hadn't been able to do that. But as they ascend the mountain with Jesus, and they see Jesus in all of his glory, they see who he really is. And we tend to really focus on that. In fact, sometimes we focus too much on that. Although, it's worth noting, and it's worth us keeping in mind during this Lenten season, that suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And that really indicates in Mark's Gospel, they saw only Jesus. And it would be good for us if during the season that's ahead of us, during the Lenten season that's ahead of us, if we too could see only Jesus. What would that be like? To see only Jesus, that our focus would be only on Jesus. But we have to be very clear about what that would entail. One thing we know about what Jesus has shared with us, what Christ shared with us, is foreshadowed in the reading from Kings that Glenn read for us this morning. Because Elijah doesn't die. Did you notice that? Elijah is one of the two people in the Hebrew Scripture who does not die. He is taken into heaven without dying. And that's important because that tells us a little bit about ourselves too. See, death is not natural to human beings, and death is not natural to you and I, although we will all experience it. It's not what God intended. It's not what God desired. God did not desire that human beings be mortal. God desired for us to be like God. In our colic today, we heard about being like Jesus. What does it mean to be like Jesus? We know that the first Adam was created by God, and the first Adam, I say the first Adam, Adam means man. The first human being, the first human person was created in God's image, likeness. But that was tarnished by the willfulness of Adam. And that symbolism from the Garden of Eden story tells us a little bit about our own willfulness and about our own ways of turning our backs on God, refusing to honor the image of God within us. In the Eastern Christian tradition, the Transfiguration is a great feast day. It's a very important feast day. And it is for us in the West too, but we probably pay a lot less attention to it than they do in the East. Why do they pay attention to it in the East? Because the story is not just about Jesus. Who else is the story about? Almost everything we hear in Scripture is really about us. We sometimes forget that. And there are versions of Christianity that would have us believe that that's not the case. so that we aren't called to be passive witnesses as James and John and Peter seem to be in this episode. We are actually called to manifest God to the world. So in this last Sunday of Epiphany, we're reminded of who we are. As Christ, this is the epitome, the climax of Epiphany, because it is Christ's true nature being revealed, but it's also our true nature. Because by God's grace, we can be what Jesus is. By God's grace, we can live into that. There are stories in the Eastern Christian Church about great saints who have actually been what they call deified. To be deified. And they would actually, it is said that they actually shine. That they glow with the Spirit. And so they are, in a way, their life and their being is transfigured. Just as Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. They are transfigured through the life of prayer and spiritual discipline. And so we are reminded of that today, and reminded, and I want to remind you that being reminded doesn't mean that it's something that goes on up here. In our liturgy, we often talk about being remembered. To be remembered is to be reconnected. That's what salvation is about. That's what we are about. Being reconnected to God. And if we are reconnected to God by accepting and cooperating with God's grace, if we are reconnected with God in that way, then God's light will shine through us to the world outside of us. And that's our true nature too. That's who God wants us to be. But God starts the process. All we have to do is to cooperate. That's it. We have to cooperate. Why doesn't the light shine out of us? Well, maybe it does. Maybe it does shine out of me. But it doesn't shine out of me very often, and it's because I am an obstacle to God's grace. Get in the way of God's grace all the time. So God's grace doesn't shine through me in the way that it ought to. In the way that God would have it. In the way God wants it. But this year, I'm hopeful. This year, I'm hopeful that God's grace will shine through me. That God's grace will shine through us. One of the great tragedies in Christianity today is that we have lost our sense of who God is calling us to be. We have lost our way. And so things in the seasons like Lent aren't taken seriously. Why do I have to not eat meat on Friday? Why do I have to engage in the Lord's Prayer? Why is it important for me to come out and receive action? Why do I need to do these things after all? If God's so great, He can fix it all up. And therein lies the problem. You see, God created us to be like God. To be like God means to take charge. It means to be a creator in your own right. It means to be a savior for the world in your own right. It means to be a conduit for God's grace in your own right. We need to cooperate with God because God has given us the capacity to say yes or no. Lent is a great opportunity for us to really come to know who we are and where our limits are. What happens to me when I fast? What happens to me when I pray? What happens to me when I do these things that I'm called upon by the church to do? If you're like me. When you fast, you may get hangry. What do they call it? Hangry. Right? I want some food, right? I want some food. And I'm willing to eat my neighbor if it comes to that. Right? Any of you have that issue? Don't ever go out on the interstate highway system in Philadelphia when you've not had your dinner. Hard to say what will happen. That's the thing. So you come right up against the limits of who you are. Who am I? I'm this guy who gets really angry when I can't put fuel in my tank. Yeah? Is that you? Are you that guy? Then food is your God. You ever think about it that way? Then food is your God. If you can't help but being upset and throwing a fit because you didn't have your dinner, then food is your God. We hear a lot in the news these days about addiction, but most of us are addicted to something. If you can't go a day without turning on the television, then the television is your God. If you can't go for 15 or 20 minutes without looking at your phone to see what the latest Facebook post is, or to see what your email says, or I don't know what, then your phone is your God. And you're not looking only at Jesus. You're looking at your phone. You're looking at your television. You're looking at your dinner. Coffee is another matter. Coffee is an essential thing. You have to have that. I mean, nobody has to do without coffee, right? What I am asking you to do, us to do, me to do, is this year, this Lenten season, to get out of God's way and let God's light shine through you. Get out of God's way. And actually be kind to people. Well, I don't know about that, but try it. Get out of God's way and see who you really are. Because, you know, if you engage these spiritual disciplines and give a little more time to prayer and a little less time to eating and a little less time to your TV or your phone, you're going to come up right up against the limits of who you are. You're going to find out what it is that pushes your buttons. And you may not like it. And that's the wall that you have to overcome. Because that's where you are an obstacle. God's grace entering the world. And so, beginning on Wednesday, I ask you and encourage you to join me. And I ask you to encourage me to join you in letting God into the world. Full force. By living into and participating in God's grace. So that God's light can shine through you. And through me. And through us. And that light can be a beacon to the world and to those around us. May that be our call and our mission and our vocation in the day ahead. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.